So what do you suppose would happen if the kingdom of God would break forth on the Mendocino Coast? We know what the Mendocino Coast looks like under the extraction economy of forestry and fishing, and that has sort of waned, and then we've morphed into the addiction economy where wine, beer, meth, marijuana, fentanyl, gambling are the norm, heroin. What do you suppose would happen if the kingdom of God showed up on the Mendocino Coast? And it's possible. I gave you some notes here in your bulletin. It's called Accessing and Advancing the Kingdom of Heaven. When we talk about accessing heaven, we're talking about the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, which we recited earlier, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we could just suggest that maybe that's a future thing that's going to happen when Jesus comes back. And certainly it says that in Revelation, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And the glory of the Lord's going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. But what about now? What about now? When Jesus showed up on the planet, he preached his first sermon. He pulled a text out of Isaiah chapter 60 and preached it and said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, deliverance to the captives, the opening of prison doors, and sight to the blind. And then he went on and started healing people, raising the dead, turning water into wine, and healing all manner of sick people. Now, I believe that corporately, and you believe, we are the body of Christ. Each one of us members individually. So we are, as John says, as he was, so we are in the world. Could Luke 4:18 and Isaiah 60 happen here on the Mendocino Coast? People getting saved, people getting delivered from drugs and alcohol, people's lives being turned around, marriages being restored, the dead being raised. We heard a testimony. She's sitting right here. She prayed for her daughter, and she came to life. And that stuff happens today. Or is that just all passé? No. The kingdom of God is for here and now, and we get to experience that. Now, the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew says it, or the kingdom of God, as Luke, Mark, and John say it, is very, very simple, because it's broken up into two parts. You have king, that's God, and you have dom, D-O-M, which is short for domain. So the kingdom of heaven is the king's domain. And so heaven is the domain. The king, of course, is God personified in Jesus Christ. So the king is Jesus, and his domain is heaven on earth right now. Now, we know from the book of Ephesians that all of heaven's resources are available to us. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and Ephesians 3:20 to see that. Father in heaven, we invite you to open our eyes, pull back the veil, and let us see how you want to move and work here on the Mendocino Coast, just as you did there in the days of your ministry in Galilee and then in Jerusalem. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and reveal yourself to the coast through the bride, the building, and the body of Christ. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1:19 says, to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20 tells us, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Everybody say, the power that works in us. Isn't that right? Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. What I want to do is show you by these verses that there is heaven's resources are available and can be tapped here and now. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think or pray, I would add, according to the power that works in us. Turn to somebody and say, the power of heaven is working in you. Amen. All that power and authority has been given to Jesus. Jesus said when he addressed his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. He commands us to go out and teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so Jesus is with us. His power and his authority are ours, and we are his ambassadors. Here in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he identifies us as his emissaries and his ambassadors. Now then, 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You guys ready to see the kingdom of God burst forth on the coast? We have been the location for every other sort of movement. I believe it's time for the church to arise, that our churches would be filled, that each one of you would be walking in your God-given poema as we rehearse it around here. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, his poema, from which we get the Greek word poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he foreordained that we should walk in them. So, how do we get the kingdom of God flowing? How do we turn on the faucet and become a fountain of living water to the people around us? Well, the first thing we do is we speak it. This is how it starts. Paul tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how any covenant begins. When I married my wife, I believed that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And I said with my lips, when he gave me the covenant promises, I said, I do. And he said, by the power invested in me, by the state of California and heaven, I now pronounce you man and wife. I walked into that church unmarried, and I walked out with my life partner, my wife Valerie. Wow. That was 30 years ago, folks. We're celebrating our 30th. And that's how the kingdom of God starts. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That's what Jesus and the apostles taught us, that the kingdom of God was near to us. It's in our hearts and it's in our lips. If you confess with your lips and if you believe in your heart, that's what we do. So let's all confess with our lips, Jesus is Lord. Together, Jesus is Lord. And you believe in your heart, as Jeff Grant said, our MTA evangelist, that Jesus rose from the dead and he's coming back again, then that qualifies you to be his son and daughter. As many as received him, it says in John 1:12, to them gives he the right to become the children of God. So the first thing we do is we speak it. And then we seek it. Now, this is a powerful, powerful promise to us. In Matthew 6:33, we're told, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. What are all those things in Matthew 6? Well, all the things that the pagans and the heathens and the nations run after, food and clothing. And God says, if you will put me first, then I will provide those things for you. What can you add to your life by being anxious? You can't add a single day. You can't add a single inch to your height. But you can seek first the kingdom of God, and he promises then to serve you and provide you the things that you need. And this is the story of our lives. My wife and I, we have been serving the Lord now for the last 50 years. And we have just watched heaven's resources just flow into our lives. I was able to not have my wife work during the kids' formative ages, and God provided all of our needs. I've had 8 cars given to me, and it's just what happens. You seek first the kingdom of God, and he will come and provide your food and your raiment. So you speak it and you seek it. That's how the kingdom of God comes. Number 3, you pray. This is the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray out of Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. It's also found in the book of Matthew, the longer, complete version. But it came to pass, Luke 11, 1, as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. Let's do this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a great prayer. You can pray wherever you are. You're at the supermarket, driving the bus, you're fishing. Thank you, Joshua, for that amazing testimony. You're painting, Rudy, and you see an opportunity for the kingdom of God to come. You can just pray this simple prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done, right here as it is in heaven. And then listen and ask, okay, Lord, what's my assignment? How do I do that? For me, it's Rudy and his family need a place to stay. So I knock on Noah's door and I said, Noah, you're willing to sell your trailer? We've got a family that needs it. And you just start connecting people. You just obey whatever. You pray on the spot and just expect that God's going to come through. And guess what? He always does. Mona Lisa's sitting there. We tell people that Mona Lisa has healing hands. I got a call from one of her clients just today. Rich Mejia said, I'm healed. I've received a miracle healing from the Lord. And I'm walking and I'm running. And it's all because the kingdom of God was released in his life. And thank you, Mona Lisa, for being a servant of the Lord. And God gets all the glory. Thank you. Okay, so we speak it, we seek it, we pray, and then we obey. This is Joshua. Here's your verse, Joshua. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Let's read this together. This was God's instruction to the commander of the armies of Israel as they sought to inherit the promised land. And he said in Joshua 1:5, "No one shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and be of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you." Here's the word, obey. "Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe," here it is, obey, "to do according to all that is written in. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Do those things." Okay, so we speak it. We seek first the kingdom of God. We pray it. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And then we obey the word of the Lord. Now, Joshua was to obey the instruction given by God to Moses. We're to obey the instruction given to us by Jesus Christ as explained and extrapolated by his apostles. As we said in Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Okay, so the kingdom of God bursting forth on the Mendocino Coast through people, ordinary people like Lisa Colette over there, and Elijah, and Donna, and Linda, and Jeff, and Rudy. So here's a powerful passage that talks about the kind of authority that we have with our words. When God created the earth, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Well, Jesus gave us that authority. In fact, he rebuked his disciples when they woke him up, and he had to say, "Peace be still," to the wind and the waves, insinuating that they could have done the very same thing. So here we are in Matthew 21, verses 18 through 22. So now in the morning, as Jesus returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. Now, that's what Jesus taught us in John 15 when he talks about branches that don't bear fruit. Remember what he says? If a branch doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away and it's burned. He does that to prune us. He goes on to say, when the disciples saw it, they were amazed. They were marveling, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" It probably just dried up right away. Well, Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain," pointing at a nearby hill, "be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Let's all recite this verse together. "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, is that for a previous dispensation? Is that just for the generation of the disciples? Or is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is it possible for you to reorganize the landscape by praying in Jesus' name? By saying to that mountain, be removed? Well, according to Jesus, that is the power and the authority that we have. So we speak it. We seek first the kingdom of God. We pray. We obey Jesus and his apostles. And we can say to a mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Just recently, I saw somebody on Facebook make fun of Christians who were praying against the hurricane, the Category 5 hurricane that wiped out a complete island in the Bahamas, praying against that as it approached the eastern seaboard. And they were laughing at these Christians who were, you know, taking authority over this very thing that Jesus gave us authority over. And I thought, well, it sure worked. You know, God spared a lot of people, a lot of damage. If you remember Katrina, it was devastating. Well, people were praying against those winds and those waves and those tornadoes, those hurricanes. So it works. Next, stay together. In the Greek, the word for church is ekklesia. Ek means out of. Lesia is the called out ones. And in the Roman culture, two to three Roman citizens could gather and discuss Roman law. And they could enact Roman law. That was the ekklesia. That's the authority that Rome gave to its citizens. It was a powerful thing. Well, Jesus took that idea of the ekklesia and brought it to us, the church. Now, the church is, we know, is not just a building. It is the people of God gathered together. So here in Matthew 18:20, he says this: "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." What does that make you think of? Does that make you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fourth man who was as the Son of Man? And they weren't burned. The people that threw them into the fiery furnace were consumed. Not a single hair on their bodies. Their raiment didn't smell of smoke. That's it, folks. You show up at the grocery store and you see two or three, it's time to enact kingdom business. Pray together. Ask God for something. Believe it and receive it. Is that our inheritance? Is that what we have as children of God? You bet. So we stay. We stay united in unity, believing that this is true, that we can be the church whenever two or three are gathered there in the midst of them. Jesus Christ shows up and the kingdom of God can be enacted, it can be enforced, and it can come. Can we work some damage here on the Mendocino Coast to the works of darkness? Just by going out and being his representatives, being his ambassadors, leading people to the Lord? Okay, let's go to the next one. You stay together. You pay tithes. Now, there's a lot of people that would suggest that the tithe is not a New Testament principle. How many of you are sons of Abraham? In faith, we're all children of Abraham if we have the faith of Abraham. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, tells us that in the book of Genesis, tells us that in the book of Hebrews, and it goes on to say in Hebrews that he's still paying tithes to the high priest, which in Scripture, Melchizedek is a picture of Jesus. And so here we are, when we give to the Lord, we are fulfilling our role as the sons and daughters of Abraham. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 23. He says, you tithe of mint, cumin, and anise, those would be herbs, but you forget the weightier matters of like salmon and Dungeness crab and the weightier matters of mercy and important things of the kingdom of God, love. So here it is, Malachi 3, chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, the Lord says. But you say, in what way have we robbed you, Lord? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that you will, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Robert Morris, pastor of America's fastest growing church, wrote a book on this passage called The Blessed Life. We read it, my wife and I. We decided we were going to always tithe. We were going to go above the tenth. Tithe actually means tenth, and give offerings. And literally, this picture in Malachi of the windows of heaven opening. You know, the last time the windows of heaven opened was in the days of Noah, when the fountains of the deep broke forth and the windows of heaven opened, and there wasn't enough earth to contain all the water, and the earth was completely flooded. That's a picture of what God will do to you. He will pour you out a blessing, shaken down, running out all over. Press down, he said, given it shall be given unto you. Press down, shaken together, and running out all over. There's not going to even be room enough to receive it. Pretty exciting, huh? Bring it on, God. Okay, our last word is go. We stay together, we pay tithes and offerings, and we go in his authority. So here is Jesus' great commission. And it's in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. This bank over here that's got pictures and flowers on it, that's a baptismal tank. We'll fill that and baptize you if you've not been baptized. Teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Some translations make this the ends of the earth. So whether it's time or space, the Lord is with us wherever we go. You have all of heaven's resources on tap, available to you to extend the kingdom of God wherever you speak it, seek it, pray, obey, and say, stay together, pay tithes, go in his authority, and watch the kingdom of God break forth here on the Mendocino Coast and wherever you go through you. Can we pray? Let's all stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, We thank you for the heavenly resources that have been put in the name of Jesus Christ to all of the sons and daughters of God. And that whatever we ask, believing in your name, we receive. Wherever we go, we can invite your kingdom to come and your will to be done. So Lord, right now we speak over the Mendocino Coast and we say, let there be light. Let's say those three words together. Let there be light. And we pray that there be a mighty turning to you and a coming of the kingdom of God here on the Mendocino Coast. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.